Good morning, everybody. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Hope you're all having a fantastic Tuesday. The big headline coming out of yesterday, Michael Silver of NFL Network reporting that, yes, the Packers are working on restructuring Aaron Rodgers' contract. Hark the Herald Angels sing, people. I mean, people have been wondering and asking and getting really kind of anxious about the fact that the Packers haven't touched Rodgers' deal. Now, apparently, that is in the works. And we'll see how it plays out. I know everyone's wondering exactly how they will restructure it, where they will move the money around, if they will extend him, possibly add voidable years, etc. How much will they kick the can? How much will they commit to their superstar MVP quarterback? And how important will it be to them to be able to still get out from under that contract if and when they make the decision to move on? It's all like palace intrigue. Like, you just don't, I can't, what, have you heard the news? Ooh, have you heard the scuttlebutt? I can't, it's just juicy. But barring any actual information, which of course we don't have, Mike Silver spent his segment on NFL Network basically pissing and moaning about how the Packers operate rather than giving us any actual information outside of the fact that, yes, a restructure is being worked on. We don't really have a whole lot to talk about, but it is interesting that they are going to touch it. They are going to move some money around. Again, what they do, how they do it, where they position said money will say a lot in regards to where they see the relationship with Aaron Rodgers going in the next several years. Hello to everybody in the comments section. Great to see you all. Bill is here. What's up, Bill? Steve, how are you? What's up in La Crosse? How you doing? Hello from New York City. It's an overcast day here, but it's supposed to be warm and lovely, so I'm happy about that. You and Andy are amazing. William, that is really nice of you to say. Had Andy on Let's Talk Football yesterday. Had a bit of a deep dive into the cornerback position, specifically the spot opposite Jair Alexander. Who knows what the Packers are going to do there? We went through a bunch of options. So if you haven't checked that out, make sure you do right here on the channels, whether it's Facebook, YouTube, what have you. It's also available on our Patreon page. Thought Silver had a point. Nags, don't be a hater. Hey, look, Mike's allowed to have his point of view. I'm allowed to have mine. That doesn't make me a hater. I literally posted a video saying I love the man. Because I do. I love Mike. I think he's great. We've hung out. He's a great guy. We just have very fundamental differences when it comes to how the Packers operate and go about their business. That's all. Yeah, he has a point. Of course he does. I just vehemently disagree with it. That doesn't make me a hater. Y'all are so soft. So soft. Let's see what else we got. What's up from California? How you doing, man? Hello from New York City. On the opposite end of the country. Clay, thank you for the super chat. Sup, Nags? Skipping a class to watch this. Go Pack, go. Clay, buddy, don't do that. Come on now. I literally just had a long-ass talk with my youngest daughter yesterday about how proud I was of her because she had been struggling about paying attention in the Zoom class. She's been full remote this entire pandemic. And I get it. It's hard, man, after months and months. And you just want to do stuff like watch me chat about the Packers rather than being in class. But Clay, let me tell you right now, man. Get the class. I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait till you shut it off. Get the class. Okay, Clay. I trust you've gone to class now. Any concern about not branching out in free agency in the slightest? No. Oh, you want more? The Packers were never going to be, first of all, deep into overpaying guys this free agency period, considering the salary cap going down for the first time in living memory and the work they had to do just to get under the salary cap. They were always going to let that first wave kind of happen without them, so to speak. Now, like I said, they're talking about restructuring Rodgers, have to think a extension for Davante Adams is a probability. A few other ways they can make some space, so to speak, if and when they want to go kind of bargain shopping, which is what I suspect they'll do. But the fact that they've sat out the early wave of free agency, no concerns whatsoever. Golden Tate hinted he wants to be a Packer. I saw that, Tommy. I saw him trolling over there on the old Twitter.com. I see you, Golden. Hey, when he got cut by the Giants, I gave it a maybe on Twitter. They could do worse, but I'd be shocked if the Packers brought him in. They're not going to bring a guy in who's going to, what, play a handful of snaps, not contribute on special teams, take up a roster spot. That ain't going to happen. Get a big man, get a big man, get a big man. Steve, you're preaching it, man. Lawrence Guy is out there. I'm just saying. That's my guy. Literally, I want Lawrence Guy on the Packers in the worst way. We'll see. William, thanks for the super chat. I think the influence of Joe Barry will guide us taking a linebacker at 29. Thoughts? Lots of question marks and exclamation points. William, can't say I agree with your police work there. I know if there is someone there that they deem a value, yeah, there's a chance they pick him, but they're not going to overhaul their philosophy of how they value certain positions and players just because they have a new defensive coordinator. That's not really how they operate. Michael, thanks for the super chat. Pundits making just all kinds of sense these days. Packers should totally change their ways after going 26-6 the last 2 years. Michael, and it's not even just the last 2 years. It's like they've literally operated this way for over a decade. You know, I know it's not Ted's shop anymore, but his fingerprints are clearly all over the manual that Brian Gutekunst is operating from. And again, I said this yesterday. I'll probably say it all offseason. I get if you don't agree with how Brian operates. Totally understand that. But it is who he is, and it is your favorite team. So you can root for their success, or you can bitch about it. I know where I'm going to fall. Kelvin, thanks for the super chat. How does retirement factor into contracts? In theory, could we give Rodgers a 3-year deal to kick the can, but he retires after 2? What happens to the 3rd-year money? That basically hits their cap if he retires, and they have to take on a significant portion of it, and it becomes dead money on their salary cap. So that's why you've seen reportedly, I saw earlier this morning, someone had rooted out the fact that the Packers have added voidable years to Mason Crosby and Adrian Amos's contract. Those are the type, when you add voidable years with kind of funny money, so to speak, and those years would be able to be, you know, kind of wiped off the books without a penalty. But if they gave a straight extension for, to use your example, 3 years, and he retired after 2, that 3rd year would hit immediately upon retirement. Now, I don't see Rodgers retiring anytime soon, but I understand the question. It'll be interesting. Now watch. Rodgers never talks about retirement and then surprises everybody and does after a couple of years, whereas Favre talked about it forever and then held on to the bitter end. That would be some poetry right there. Edmund, thanks for the super chat. CJ Mosley, I like him as a player. I'd be surprised if the Packers went that route. That's just guesswork on my part. I ain't got no information, but that's how I see that. Michael, thanks for the super chat. Can you explain how void years work? Essentially, it's a kind of a funny money way of extending out a signing bonus. You see that with the not just signing bonus, but lots of different kind of types of money in the contract. Recently, the most kind of obvious example of this is Taysom Hill's new contract with the Saints, where they gave him a ton of money into voidable years. And those voidable years are basically you're never going to reach those years. The team can kind of kill them at any point. It's obviously a lot more complicated than that. That's a 20,000 foot view, but it is a kind of a cap mechanism that teams can use. There are parameters which you have to operate within. Andrew Brandt has talked a little bit about this on his Twitter feed. If you go into the Twitter search, put his handle and then voidable years or void years, he has a pretty decent breakdown of examples of how he's used them in the past when he was with the Packers. Michael, thanks for the super chat. Aaron, hope you have a kick-ass day. If Rodgers comes out with another MVP caliber season with no signs of regression, what do you do with Mr. Love? Well, it depends on Love's progression himself. And look, they still got 3 years of control on Aaron Rodgers, so you continue to play Aaron Rodgers. Aaron sat for 3 years. Jordan can sit for 3 years. And I know, holy cow, the Twitterverse would fucking explode, but, you know, that is an entire possibility. I've said it 100 times, and I'll continue to say it. They're not going to move on just to move on. If Jordan Love develops, as they suspect he will, and Aaron Rodgers is playing at an MVP level 2 or even 3 years into this, then they've got a hard decision to make. But a lot can happen in that time. And Jordan Love is great insurance if it does. But they are not going to make a move just to make it. I cannot stress that enough. I mean, and also, what a great fucking problem to have. Oh no, we've got a superstar MVP quarterback playing at an insanely high level, and we have this young quarterback developing behind him who's starting to play really well. That's like the opposite of where the Bears are. That's a good thing. Thank you, Brian Gutekunst. That's how I would approach that. That's just me. Nags, is there a player on a rival team that's so good you just can't hate? For me, for example, Randy Moss or Calvin Johnson were so damn good and entertaining, you could never hate them. You could never hate Randy Moss? Wow. I hated Moss when he played for the Vikings the first time around. Oh boy, I hated that guy. Love him now. Love Randy Moss. Like, looking back, I appreciate his talent, etc. But boy, man, I hated him. Calvin, I get you. Like, yeah, he was so good. How could you hate him? But Randy, I don't know, man. There was that first primetime game in Lambeau where he absolutely torched the Packers. That moment on, man, that was hard. It was hard to stomach. As far as like today, Akeem Hicks. I love Akeem Hicks. I love that. I love the guy. I love the player. I know, you know, there's a chance he get moved on from, I guess, in Chicago. But I love him. I love watching him play. He is an absolute wrecking ball, total force in the interior there. I can't hate him. Okay, he plays for the Bears, and I can't hate him. That's how good he is. Brandy, Danica Patrick still hasn't moved on. Okay, Brandy. Now, that's personal stuff that doesn't matter at all. Gun to your head. Does Rodgers finish his contract in Green Bay? I'll take the bullet, Robin. No. Gun to my head, I would say no. Walter, thanks for the super chat. What a great problem is my exact hashtag thoughts. you see, we're here. That's what I'm talking about. I mean, what a great problem to have. Cam Chancellor. Oh, yeah, he was fun to watch. Although, you know, the whole Legion of Boom time was hard to like any Seahawks player. Click that like button. Thanks, Ron. Peanut Tillman was the guy for me. Just a lot of respect for that dude. Oh, great player. Great player. And he went on to what? Have a career he has, I think now, is in the FBI? Am I remembering that right? Dude, he was awesome to watch. He was, and like, the worst ever was when they played the Packers and he would cause a fumble. Obviously, he did that against a lot of people, but, oh, because you knew it was coming. He was so good at it. And you would just be like, you would see, say, like, James Jones in the open field. You'd be good, like, slow-mo. No! Because you'd see Peanut coming up behind him or something. Oh, he was so good. Great player. Doxson, thanks for the super chat. Favorite Replacements album song. I've never been a big Replacements guy. Got to admit. Now, I mean, I recognize their greatness, great songs, real craftsmanship, but it's never been my thing, man. Sorry. It's never really it. Bring in Lawrence Guy. Where were you like 5 minutes ago or yesterday? Yes. I couldn't agree more. I am all in on that train. Barry Sanders was the guy for me. Love that guy. Yeah, he was amazing. Impossible to hate. Love Barry. Colby, Adams extension chances, very high. I would be absolutely shocked if they get out of this offseason without extending Adams. If for no other reason than they need the cap room to sign their rookies. But on top of that, yes, as we all know, there are no wide receivers signed past next year. Adams is a premier, if not the premier receiver in the league. It makes zero sense to go into the season without an extension for Adams. 100%. What else we got, folks? Barry is the best running back I've ever seen. Yeah, same for me. I mean, I appreciate Jim Brown and his greatness. No doubt about it. Obviously, never got to see him play live, but growing up watching Barry Sanders was a damn privilege. Are we overlooking the middle linebacker hole? Nate, no more so than we have all the last kind of 20 years. I think it's just an acceptance. I don't think it's an overlooking. It's just that's how the Packers operate. They're never going to make that a priority. They want their edge rushers. They want corners. They definitely want to kind of revamp the defensive line. They've got their safety duo. Inside backer is never going to be a priority. Not in Green Bay. Not the way they operate. And I don't think switching schemes is going to change much in that regard. Now, if someone truly talented falls to 29 and they think, you know, he's the easily the best guy available, there's a possibility they take an inside backer at 29. But I don't know who that is. The board certainly has to fall a certain way. But there, I would be absolutely shocked if they spent significant free agency resources. That, you know, foray last year with Kirksey is about as extravagant as they'll most likely get there. Big Cheese, thanks for the super chat. Morning, Nags. With the Packers trying to restructure Rodgers' contract, over under 3 free agent signings before the season. Give me the under. Give me 2. 2 whole signings. Nags, the special teams coach says he will run that phase with a high percentage plays. What do you make of this? Oh, special teams with high percentage plays. I hope I you know, Maurice saying that led me to believe he's going to maybe not simplify, because that's always kind of where you want to lean in there, not simplify the playbook, but just run one or two types of coverages rather than trying to get so many different coverages on, you know, kick and punt coverage each and every game. Probably try to keep it simple, stupid, so to speak. You know, and I think that makes a lot of sense after a year that saw them give up, you know, 2 punt returns for touchdowns. First time that's happened since the 60s. I think it's time to go back to the drawing board and keep it real simple. But, you know, that is obviously yet to play out. I think it makes a lot of sense, though, given how much roster overturn there always is on special teams, and especially now that GMs have been given additional tools as far as IR and things like that. We'll see if those rules stick around after the pandemic. But as long as those, you know, there's so much shuffling going on for the bottom of the roster, that's going to affect your special teams. You better have whoever's out there knowing what the hell they're doing, because certainly at times last year, plenty of guys didn't. Andrew, thanks for the super chat. Mine is Sherman, all fire on the field, great presence in the locker room. I also love his respect for Rodgers. Richard Sherman is so polarizing for Packers fans. Some people, like really, like yourself, seem to like really appreciate his game. Others can't get past the Legion of Boom stuff and him yelling at Aaron Andrews, etc. Having worked with Richard at Bleacher Report, I think he's a really cool dude, and I think he's a great football player. And I hope only for the best for him, as long as he's not playing the Packers. And I'd be shocked if he was on the Packers. Stanley, thanks for the super chat. Are those team issues? LOL at MLF and Barry. Not quite sure what that means. Legless, thanks to the super chat. Sad events in Boulder yesterday. Who will be their punt returner next year? Rookie? That's a confluence of ideas right there, Legless. Yes, deepest sympathy and respect for everyone who's been affected by the events in Boulder yesterday. As far as a punt returner, I think there's still a good chance Tyler Irvin is back. I know he's currently a free agent, but I also think there's a decent chance that he's back. But we'll see. We got Aaron freaking Rodgers. What are we doing for him? Putting him in a highly productive scheme that helped him become MVP with the best wide receiver in the game, coupled with the best left tackle in the game, coupled with one of the greatest running backs in the game. And then also a tight end who just set a franchise record with 11 touchdowns last year, all in the number one offense. That's what they're doing for him. Everyone talks about Aaron Rodgers playing at an MVP level like that just happened because he wanted it to. The Packers went about last offseason adjusting the offense to help Aaron Rodgers, along with all the pieces already in place. Those guys are going to continue to grow in the scheme together. Remember 2018 or 2017 when Rodgers was throwing the ball away a record 50 plus times because he wanted to get Mike McCarthy fired? Well, now he's got what he wanted. He's got his young offensive coach in a hot new scheme. Okay. And now you're playing at MVP level. Way to go. Good for you. But don't talk like the Packers haven't done anything for Aaron Rodgers. That's some fucking bullshit right there. Good Lord. Amen, Nags. Drop the gloves on the haters. I'm so sick of it. By the way, without the Packers, Aaron Rodgers isn't Aaron Rodgers. Everyone talks like he just arrived as Aaron Rodgers. No, he was downright bad for those first two summers, got a little better in his third year, and then they made the jump. And then they developed him. Specifically, Mike McCarthy developed him along with Clements, developed him. He didn't just arrive. So for you to sit here and say, like, what are they doing for King Rod? Shut the hell up. They have done everything for him. Everything. Including make him who he is. He is a great player. A great talent. But he hasn't done it alone. You think he's Aaron Rodgers if he ends up in Cleveland and has to play right away? Get out of here. Big B, I hate Facebook. Stanley, thanks for the super chat. Relax, a lot of ball game left. True, very true. Very, very true. How would you rank Bobby among blocking tight ends league-wide? Apparently, he has to play the offensive line standards, and he's learning from Big Dog. I think he's top 10 at least. Oh, Kenny, I couldn't presume to rank the blocking prowess of all the tight ends in the league. But I will say he has greatly improved in that regard. It was the big question mark, no doubt about it, coming into last year's camp. They were talking about he's going to be tight end one, and we were all, okay. But he certainly rose to the occasion. He's never going to be Big Dog in that regard. But he's a lot better than he was the years previous. He's continuing to learn and grow, and that's what you want. That's the development part. We were talking about yesterday, draft and develop. You know, they are developing him, and he is working his ass off. And are there times he's going to be overmatched? Yes. Are there times where his technique slips? No doubt. But he is definitely improving, has definitely improved, and will continue to improve, hopefully, considering what a hard-ass worker he is. Hey, Nags, are centers typically a smooth transition, or do you expect a few overhead snaps? I think it'd be pretty smooth. I mean, there were certainly some off-target snaps when Lucas Patrick had to go in at Dallas, 2 years ago? But you saw a pretty smooth transition when Jenkins had to slide in. I think, you know, Lucas, that's something he can work on. I wouldn't expect over-the-head snaps or anything like that. Now, could it happen? Yeah, it's a possibility. But I think mostly, especially if they have a full offseason, you get your full complement of reps and not just OTAs, mini camps, a full training camp, all of preseason, although that would probably be 3 games this year instead of 4. I don't think it'll be a problem. I really don't. But, you know, we'll see. But traditionally, that's not a problem. That's not an issue. One last super chat. Chris, thanks for the super chat. AF and men. Preaching to the choir. All right. Thanks a lot, everybody. I'm going to have to get going. Can't thank you guys enough for hanging out, talking Packers this morning. Please do me a favor and hit like on this video, subscribe to the channel. And if you're so inclined, please consider supporting Cheesehead TV on our Patreon page, patreon.com/CheeseheadTV. It really does help support everything we do. I say this all the time, and we continue to say it. Every place you go on the internet that covers the Packers, almost every single one of them has some kind of corporate backing and or structure that helps support the creation of their content. At Cheesehead TV, we are strictly bootstrapped. We do everything on our own with no help from the outside as far as a corporate entity or a big donor, none of that. So everything we do is pretty much because it's supported by fans, and everything that we get from Patreon goes to support the camera I'm talking into now, the computer that's streaming, the headset that's on my head, everything. So we really appreciate all our Patreon members. Speaking of Patreon, the Patreon happy hour is all set to go tomorrow night at 6 p.m. Hope to see you all there. If you can't join Patreon, I totally understand, but please do hit like on the video and subscribe to the channel. Tell your friends, tell your family, Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide.